County. God bless you. Let's once again give the people, especially in North County and online, give them a big hand. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry. Security. We had a lot going on since we were here. We had a couple of funerals. We had a police officer pass away, as you know, here in San Diego. We had a funeral here. And last Wednesday, I was in Kansas City. One of the Navy SEALs, the 22 Navy SEALs that passed, a couple of them had gone here. They had moved back east, so went back and did one of those funerals. It's just unfortunate. So I would encourage you to keep praying for our police, pray for our firemen, pray for our military, because when you go to the funeral, you realize the price that they pay and that the fact that their life is on the line every single day. We take it for granted. Don't ever take it for granted. So I want to thank all you military and police officers that are here today. Thank you very much for what you do. And in the middle of my supposed vacation, we moved our house. Shoot me in the head. So let's see a Bible. Let's see the Bible. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. New Testament, second book, Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Yes, we moved our house. How many of you hate moving? If you don't hate moving, you haven't moved. We had a lot of friends help us, and I appreciate all the people that came and helped, but it was, ooh. You can die and go to hell, or you can die and move forever. Just keep moving people's houses. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness, and we pray that you bless us today, Lord, and I pray that you challenge us today. I pray you challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1995, I had a ministry called Miles Ahead Ministries. We started our first youth crusade. We were planning our first, at the time we called it crusades. It was an evangelistic event we were going to hold at the sports arena for free. We had never put on an event. We had never raised money. It ended up being over $250,000 back in 95. It's a lot of money anytime, but especially then we never raised any money. Big production, never did any of that. And it was incredibly stressful. Very rewarding, but stressful. And as we were preparing, we were thinking, what are we missing? There's something we're not doing to make sure this event is successful in the eyes of God. And I was talking to somebody, a gentleman who was in his mid-50s at the time. And at the time, in the mid-50s, to me, was old. Okay, I was 35-ish, and he was probably 20 years older than me. I'm like, you know, he's a kind of an older guy. And he and his wife had done a 40-day fast. And I was like floored. I was like, you guys fasted 40 days? He says, oh, yeah, it was great. And I was like, oh, if you could do it, I can do it. So we went back to our team, our volunteers, and said, look, we're doing this event in May of 96. Now this is the end of 95. Let's go on a 40-day fast. And we had never done a 40-day fast, and we did. We fasted from... Well, I remember my schedule was a day after Christmas till February 4th. And fast 40 days, and every day I was wondering, you know, what's it going to be like? And at the end of that 40 days, the last 10 days, I was traveling, speaking two or three times a day. I was traveling back east. Now, that was the end of January, the beginning of February. And for all of you who don't know anything about the East Coast in the winter and think that 52 degrees is cold, number one, you're clueless. But it was, you know, it was zero. I was in Marion, Indiana for the last week. I had lost 20-something pounds. I was all skin and bones, all crusty. My wife wouldn't give me a hug or nothing. I was walking around like that. And again, this is 40 days. And it was the most incredible thing. It was the most incredible experience of my life. Today we're going to talk about taking a 21-day fast as a church. Now, let me preface it by saying the obvious. We can't make you do anything, something you're going to do because you want to do it, and you're going to fast what you want to fast. But I want to talk about fasting today. And I want to challenge you, starting tomorrow, today being your last meal tonight, that you fast 21 days. And I'm going to explain to you how, why, what it is, what the benefit of it is. But that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, before I get into the lesson, I want to say this. I want you to think about the biggest miracle you need. You need revelation from God. You need to break an addiction. You need help with a relationship, with a job, finances. You want to get closer to God. You want to see God in a way you've never seen him before. This is one way to do it. In this story, very short story, I'm just going to refer to in the beginning of the message. We have a lot of other points to go through. Is a man whose son is demon-possessed. And the Bible says the demons throws him in the water and the fire to destroy him. And the man brings his son to Christ's disciples. They can't heal the boy. They can't cast the demon out. They pray. They speak in tongues. They speak in fingers. Bada boom, bada bing. Nothing happens. Smoke on them and nothing happens. Jesus comes and speaks 17 words. You deaf, dumb, and spirit, I command you get out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit, the demon, gets out of him. His disciples bring him in the house. They say, Peter, close the door. John, close the windows. And they ask Jesus, how did you do that? We've been praying all day for that kid. Look at verse 29. Verse 29, chapter 9 of Mark, Jesus says, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Let me say it again. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. There are some things that will not happen into your life until you surrender more of yourself to God. You don't need any more God. God needs more of you. You got all the God you can get. God is all around you. It's a matter of how much of you does God have. Fasting is, as a matter of fact, look at your notes, number one. Fasting is voluntarily abstain from eating and drinking for an extended period of time. You are voluntarily going to hold yourself back. And when I say eating and drinking, I'm not only talking about food. You feed yourself intellectual food. You have social food. You have emotional food. You have spiritual food that's not good spiritual food. You are consuming stuff all the time that is distracting you from your relationship with God. Fasting is saying, I'm going to get away from that. Matter of fact, look at the next one of your notes, 1A. It says, fasting is designed to separate you from your perceived life support that you may focus exclusively on the Lord, your actual life support. Some of you are relying on things to get you through your day that have nothing to do with God. And by the way, not only does it have nothing to do with God, it's an addiction. By a show of hands, how many of you drink coffee every day? Watch out now. Watch out. Crackheads right there. Crackheads. Crackheads. Now, let me explain what I mean by crackheads. I used to use cocaine. I used cocaine for a year and a half, 2 years. Can't remember how long it was. My first years in the NFL, I used cocaine. Stopped. God delivered me in one day, and several years later, I got in ministry, and I went to a ministry meeting. I'd never been a big coffee drinker, so I'm at the ministry meeting, and I drank coffee. You know, everyone else was doing it. I figured, I'll do it. I'm driving home, and I'm saying to myself, I am high right now. My wife will tell you, I went in the house, and I says, I feel like I just did cocaine. Now, I say all that to say, I'm not saying coffee is cocaine, even though caffeine has a similar thing. If you drink coffee every day and feel you have to drink coffee every day, you are addicted. And one of the signs that you're addicted is that you're saying to yourself right now, you're not addicted. Another sign that you're addicted is that you are not willing to give up your coffee. And it's not because you don't want to give up your coffee only, it's because you can't. You are addicted. Think about it. You get up, and what do you say? I got to have my coffee. I never met a coffee drinker, never said that. I got to have my coffee. You know what God says? I want you to got to have me. And so you may say, I'm just gonna fast coffee. Fine. Go for it. Go for it. And I know coffee drinkers we've done fast before in the church, and they stop coffee, and they end up under the coffee table like this. That's called addicted. That's called withdrawals. That's called, I need to go to rehab for Starbucks, okay? So when we say fast, you know, you don't have to, and we're going to talk about diet in a minute. It's all online. We're going to talk about it in a minute. But I want you to get your mind wrapped around the fact that there's something that we're going to challenge you, and God challenged you to separate yourself from for 3 weeks. Okay? 3 weeks. Now, let me preface this message also by saying this. Some of you are going to resist because you have medical issues. Fine. This, you can fast technology. You can fast text message, whatever it is. You can fast television. Some of you are going to not do it because you have some eating disorder issues. You shouldn't. Some of you, all of you need to consult your physician. Some of you are not going to fast simply because you're a punk. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You just don't want to, and you're like, I like my food, and that's it. Fine. But let me tell you something. If you can't give up something for 3 weeks, at the chance, and ain't a chance, it's a guarantee that you're going to get more God than you could ever get. Don't cheat yourself. Don't let the devil play you for a sucker for that. Okay. Number two in your notes, fasting's goal, a personal encounter with the living God. Boom. Now, when you fast, you're going to lose weight, no doubt. You're going to cleanse your body, no doubt. You may break an addiction, at least coffee, or some kind of addiction, a mild addiction potentially. You're going to have all these benefits. All that's fine. But the bottom line is that you experience God. We had a consultant come to the church years ago, and we were talking about the rock and trying to identify our DNA, what makes us unique, blah, 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 blah. And she asked a question to our leadership, what is the purpose of Sunday service, this right here? And one person said, oh, the purpose is worship. We're going to worship God. Another person said, oh, we want to learn the word, and we want to get evangelism and fellowship and all. And she said, all that's true, but that's not the purpose of Sunday. The purpose of Sunday is to experience God. It's God. It's not about any of that. You may experience God through one sentence said in a message, one verse in a song, one video. That's all you needed. Fantastic. It's all about God. So when we fast, the whole reason we're fasting is, Lord, I want to get all the distractions out of my life. Because let's face it, we're selfish. It's all about me. I want to eat what I want, when I want. I want to sit where I want to sit. I want to get out the parking lot when I want to get out the parking lot. I want to watch on TV what I want to watch on TV, when I want to watch it, at the volume I want to watch it in. It's all about me. And if you don't think it's all about you, you're that much deceived. And so the fasting is saying, Lord, I'm going to separate whatever I got to separate from so it could be all about you. Turn to John chapter 3. You're in Mark, and right after that is Matthew, and then Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. John chapter 3, verse 30. John the Baptist says something very simple. Talking about him and Jesus and how, you know, who is Jesus? And he's the forerunner of Christ. And he says in chapter 3, verse 30, he must increase and I must decrease. He must increase and I must decrease. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Fasting's goal is, Lord, that you may increase in my life and I may decrease. We can get so much caught up into our pattern. We go to church however often we go. Most people come every other week. Matter of fact, next week, next Sunday, I'm going to talk about prayer, how to pray. I'm going to give you an acronym on how to pray, very simple. And if you do it, it'll empower your prayer life. But next week, about 40% of the people, the people who are in this room right now will not be here. Every week, about 40% of this room turns over with new people. Ain't that something? And then a week after that, another 40% will turn over. Because people come about a couple times a month. Why not every week? Well, stuff comes up. I'm sure the devil throws stuff up. You just make it a... You make it a thing. I'm going to be there. This is what I do. It's 2 hours out of your day by the time you get in here and get out. And so, God, you must increase and I must decrease. My life cannot be about me. It has to be about you. So when the reason I'm going to fast is because I want more of you. I was talking to a guy once, and I was telling him when I was on my 40-day fast, and I was teaching about it, actually. He was at a little conference thing. I was talking about it, doing a talk on it, and the guy said, he says, you're fasting 40 days. He says, why 40 days? I said, well, Jesus fasted 40 days. He said, were you trying to be like Jesus? Yes. That's what, yeah. You're a perceptive brother. You're a perceptive brother. You must have a brain. Christian means little Christ. Christian doesn't mean I go to church every other Sunday. It means little Christ. People go to church who are not Christian, you know. People read the Bible. People teach the Bible who are not Christian, you know. Those mechanical things, that's a symptom, should be a symptom of who you are. And so fasting is, we'll say, Lord, I want it to be all about you. And I want my mind and my head and my heart and my body to be clarified. This is the temple of God. And everything I put in my body, by the way, not only in your mouth, in your eyes, what you watch, what you hear. People, what you see on TV, those images in your head. Pornography, you got images in your head. On and on and on and on and on. All that is poisoning the temple. Fasting says, Lord, I'm going to consecrate, I'm going to separate myself. Holy means hagios, or the Greek word for holy is hagios, means set apart. I'm going to set myself apart even from what I think I need, which is food. Okay, we're only talking 21 days, and when it comes down to it, really, you're talking 7 once I tell you how to do it, because I'm going to give you an easy version. So we're not really talking about, 21 days of just sitting there, can't eat, and just shriveling up. That ain't going to happen. Y'all got 401k food all over everything. Y'all got reserves for years, so you don't have to worry about it. If you look in your notes, other examples of fasting, special revelation, Exodus chapter 34, Moses fasted. In times of war, and the judges, the Israelites fasted when they were going to war. Esther, in Esther 4, she asked people to fast for her for courage because she was going to confront the king. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, Nehemiah fasted because he was heartbroken over the fact that the walls were broken down in Jerusalem. 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah fasted after he was running from the woman Jezebel. Daniel chapter 10, Daniel fasted, Jonah in chapter, the Ninevites in Jonah chapter 3, the Ninevites fasted because they were getting ready to be judged by God, and they fasted and repented. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus fasted 40 days. By the way, Moses fasted 40 days, Elijah fasted 40 days, and Jesus fasted 40 days. Moses fasted 40 days twice. In Mark chapter 9, we just saw Jesus talked about the need for fast for spiritual power. In ministry commissioning, in Acts chapter 14, they fasted to commission the people in the ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul suggested to fast from sexual relations for a short period of time, just a few minutes, just so you can pray a little bit. You don't want to take it too long and, be tempted by the devil. So he's talking about, that's what he said. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul fasted often. And by the way, there's all kinds of more verses and stories about people fasting in the Bible. So it's all throughout the Bible. Number three in your notes. Are we at number three? You need to prepare your heart. Turn to 2 Chronicles, Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You need to prepare yourself. Second Chronicles 7:14. God appears to Solomon. And he says, let's look at verse 12. 2 Chronicles 7:12 says, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. He had just built a temple. And when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence upon my people because they've sinned, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, everyone say then. Say then. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know what God says? If when you are going through hard times, if, everyone say if, and say then. If you do the right thing, I will bless you. But so many times we play God for a sucker. We're sinning, and we throw up, hey, dear God, bless me, and we keep sinning. Like God's supposed to go, oh, they pray, so I got to bless them. It don't work that way. Dear God, I am surrendering my life to you, and I'm going to humble myself and pray, and I'm going to turn from my wicked way. Got to get your heart right. Lord, I really want to fast because I really want more of you, and I'm going to do it right. We are our biggest fools. Let me say it this way. The biggest suckers in our life are the people in the mirror. We lie to ourselves every day. I'm not addicted to coffee. You know you are. You thinking about it right now. I'm going to Starbucks right after I get in here. I'm going to get a latte. Maca-laca-laca-laca-laca-laca. Super grande mocha macarena. And you know you don't need to be eating five Big Macs after work. We keep telling us all this lie. You know what, God? I'm going to stop lying to myself. I need more of you. And I'm going to stop telling myself that I don't need to pray more. I'm going to stop telling myself I don't need to go to church anymore. I don't need to read my Bible every day. I'm going to stop lying to myself. I'm going to stop lying to myself to think I'm good. You ever hear someone say, I'm humble? The words I'm humble are translated, I'm prideful. Because you have to be prideful to say you're humble. Think about it. I'm a really humble person. I never think about myself and I'm just so good. And no, you're really just all about you. Number 3B, prepare your motive. You need to prepare your motive. Turn to Ephesians, New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. What will be your motive? You want God. You want God. I can promise you, it's not even a promise, it's a guarantee. There is a whole lot more God to be got. If you stand on the beach and look at the ocean and you see the horizon, that line out there or the horizon or the end of where you see water is 14 miles. Do you know how many thousands of miles of water there is out there? A whole lot. There is more space under the surface of the water, valleys deeper than any mountain above the water. I hope you know that. There's more land under the water than above the water. There's more plants under the water than above the water. It is vast. And you can never be consumed by it all. Just imagine God is infinitely bigger than that. If you try to drink the ocean. Imagine you could drink the ocean. You can't even drink Mission Bay. You can't drink your own pool. That's how much God is. I want all that. Look what it says in verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every. Everyone say every. Say every. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Do you know how many spiritual blessings in the heavenly places? Everyone say no. God says, I made it all available to you. By the way, every single one of y'all, this is just my interpretation or explanation of how it works. Every single one of y'all got your own little count. You got your own little safe deposit box in heaven. In other words, you have spiritual blessings that are assigned to you. You can't exhaust them, but they're waiting for you to cash them in. And I'm not talking about money, cars, houses. I'm talking about blessings from God or whatever he chooses them to be, even if it's a wisdom, anointing, prayer power, healing power, preaching power, teaching power, encouraging power, discernment, joy. He has all this available to you, and the devil has shut you out of them because he's got you distracted on something that you think is your life support. And then when you fast, you say, Lord, I'm disconnecting from that, and I'm throwing myself in your arms. On whatever you have, I want that. That's my motive. Whatever that is. And God will rock your world. He may show you stuff about your life that you never knew. Look at the next one in your notes. Prepare your body. Okay, now, there are many books on fasting. We have them in the bookstore. Here's how we are going to propose to do it. The first thing you want to do is cleanse your body. When I say cleanse, there's a lot of cleanses out there. We're going to spend a week or so eating fruits and vegetables. Now, if that's all you did for 21 days, your life would change. Just do that. Matter of fact, if you ever watch the news and they talk about people who get cancer or are sick, they always say, eat fruits and vegetables. Why? Because that's what God made for us to eat. It's healthy. And if you eat fruits and vegetables, as a matter of fact, when you go to the grocery store, if you just focused on what's on the outside of the grocery store, the fruits and vegetables on the outside, all the stuff in the aisles, poison. I mean, it is. It tastes good. I mean, you know, Twinkies, da-da bomb. Ice cream's the bomb. You know, bonbons, you know, Cinnabon. They pump that smell in the airport, trying to make you come right over to it because it smells good. But it's no good for you. Sugar's horrible for your brain. If you just said, Lord, I'm just going to take out all the poison, and it's poison, by the way. You wonder why we get sick, why we get cancer. Part of it's what you eat. So for a week, we're just going to eat fruits and vegetables. You have your smoothie, but not sugar smoothie. And just clean out. Your body is constantly cleansing. That's why your breath stinks every day. That's why your body smells. That's why you go to the bathroom. That's why you sweat. Your body's constantly cleaning itself out. You're constantly poisoning it. So what we're going to do is we're going to put good stuff in our body and a lot of water, a lot of vegetables and fruit. Just clean it out. And so take out all the coffee, all the sugar, all the cookies and ice cream and all that stuff. And we're just going to put it in with God. And then that, if you do that for a week, your life will be changed right there. You will experience something right there, spiritual. Someone said, well, what does eating food got to do with being spiritual? Stop eating and find out. When I was in Marion, Indiana, on day, I think, 33 through 40, I was there for a week speaking in schools. So I fasted 33 days, and I was down to my last week, and I was in Marion, Indiana, speaking in schools two or three times a day and at night. And so don't think that you're going to be, oh, I can't make it. I got help. I'm dying. How long have you been fasting? Oh, one day. Most likely it's not going to be like that unless you have some kind of physical deal. You'll go through a little, especially at the beginning when you start to cleanse yourself out because there's a lot of poisons in your body. And you may get a little sick because the junk is coming out. And again, consult with your physician. You'll get through. You know how you get hungry every day and you're like, oh, it doesn't get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. After a while, you just take a sip of water and it's gone. And so you need to get through that. And now you're on Holy Spirit fumes. Okay? So a week of that, a week of fruits and vegetables, a lot of drinking. Again, there's teas and broths. There's a lot of stuff, information on web and also books in the bookstore. And then we go a week of just juice. And you can put a smoothie in there. You can put protein if you want. You could still work out, exercise to the degree you can. You want to get blood circulating. You want to sweat. Go for a walk. I was day 40. I was in that. The first time I was in the East Coast, I wasn't going outside a lot, but I was still doing a lot of work. I was speaking day and night in high schools. Matter of fact, on day 39, I spoke two or three times in a day, spoke at night, went to bed, flew home on day 40, and spoke two times at church that night at the Horizon where I was speaking at the time, and broke my fast doing communion. Didn't even realize that was going on. It was the bomb. So my point is, you want a week of cleansing. Get your body used to, you know, just minimize your diet. A week of just juices, water, teas, whatever. And then a week of reintroducing food, fruits, and vegetables. Again, this is all online. And so it's kind of a gradual thing. But the bigger issue, once you can get past, I haven't eaten. Once you can get past that mind game, you got to focus on God. Because it's not about surviving eating less. It's not about surviving not watching ESPN 5 hours a day when you see the same highlight over and every hour. It's okay. It's about, Lord, I'm getting you. Okay, look at the next one. Prepare your schedule. Prepare your schedule. In other words, here's going to be what I'm going to consume. Here's how I'm going to set time aside for God. I'm going to sit in this chair at this time with my pen and my Bible, and I'm going to meet with God. Here's what I'm going to do different with the use of my time to make sure I'm connected with God. And not just keep myself busy so I'm not eating and so I'm not thinking about what I'm not eating. That's not the point. I'm going to spend time with God because I want more God. I want more God. That's what it's about. Number four in your notes. Number four, explain to your family what you do in advance. Tell your family, look, here's what I'm doing. Hopefully your family can do it together as a family. And everyone gives up something. Request privacy from those who do find out. Hey, how come you're not eating? Say you're going to discuss it later. Number four, D, do not complain. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Don't complain or brag. Hey, I'm on day 14. Yeah, my church is doing a fast, and, you know, I'm just drinking juices and Now, some of you may be thinking, that's what I'm doing now. No, I'm teaching you. You don't go around telling all about everybody. Okay? Look at verse 16. It says, moreover, when you fast, verse 16, chapter 6 of Matthew, Matthew 6, 16, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. But surely I say to you, they have their reward. In other words, they're going around going, oh, pray for me. I'm just trying to be spiritual. Pray for me. I know I haven't eaten in 2 weeks, and yeah, it's so hard, but I love God. Don't be that guy. Verse 17, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, and basically look normal. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. It's about you and God. It's about you and God. By the way, people who really, really pray, people who are really obedient, their lives are unexplainable. Stuff happens like, how? They can't even explain it. I don't know. I don't know. And you need to know if something's going on in private because God's blessing them in public. Something's happening. Don't you want that kind of life? Where even you hang up the phone and go, you won't believe what that happened. You will go to work. I can't believe this is happening. That's how God works. God is the bomb. And the 4E, establish accountability partner for prayer and encouragement. Get somebody in your life that can be honest with you, that knows the deal, and you make a commitment with them, here's what we're going to do, and they can seriously tell you, honestly say to you, did you keep your commitment today? Because you'll fool yourself. Oh, it's just one cookie. It's not that big a deal. I just want to sip that little mocha chaka cheeky. I'm not going to drink a whole cup. God knows my heart. Yes, he does. That's a problem. 4F. Stay away from negative people. Oh, you're going to die. I can see it in your face now. You haven't had food in 5 days. Oh, my gosh, I would just be famished. You must be so famished. And they're eating a cookie right in front of you. You must be so famished. You want this right now, don't you? Stay away from those people. 4G, spend as much time alone in prayer and solitude as you can. Let me say it also this way. Slow down. I don't know if you ever had a heart stress test and they put you on a treadmill. Has anybody ever had that happen? How many of you have never had that? Oh, y'all need to go to the doctor. They put all these electrodes on you to test your heart, your respiration, your blood pressure, and all that kind of stuff, blood pressure thing, and you put you on a treadmill, and they started walking, and they speed it up, and they speed it up, and then they incline it, and they get you huffing and puffing. Keep going, and you're like going to die. Literally, you're just like going to explode. If you take the number 220 and minus your age, that's your max heart rate. So if you're 20 years old, 220 minus 20, 200 is your max heart rate. That means you'll never get it there. That is like the max it can go, and you should exercise at 80% of that. So they put you on a treadmill, and they test all these things, your respiration, your all this kind of stuff. And you just get going and going and going, and all it takes is about 10 minutes to kill you. Sometimes the devil will get our whole life on a treadmill like that. You get up. Your whole life is, and then you fall out at night. Then you get up, and you have no control of your life. It's like the treadmill's going, and you can't stop. When you fast, get off the treadmill. You will get off the treadmill, and you're gonna realize, wait a minute, whew, I don't need to be doing all that. I really don't. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need them. I'm good. For real. I'm telling you, this is going to happen. Your whole life's going to change. And when you start eating, the risk is you get back on the treadmill, slowly but surely. And letter H, 4H, acknowledge that your flesh cannot be trained. It must be crucified. Real quick, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. New Testament. When I say flesh, I mean our sinful nature, our ego, our pride, our insecurity, our perception of ourself. Our lust. A lust is a strong desire for something. It doesn't have to be sexual. It could be money. It could be popularity. You know, I need to be first. I need to have the best of this, the best of that. Our flesh has a desire, and the Spirit of God has a desire opposite. Look what it says in chapter 5, verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the desires of your flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. It's like having two pit bulls in your heart. One pit bull's good, another pit bull's bad, and the pit bull's a fight every day, and the pit bull who wins is the pit bull you feed. You've been feeding, with all the stuff we're going to fast, the bad pit bull. Very subtle, the bad pit bull. And then it says in verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The works of the Spirit, the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of anger or wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and things like that. Well, they didn't say mine. Oh, it's in there. It's in there. Things like that. <You're> like, man. Me hit my sister on the head. That's not in there, so I figured that's okay. Of which I tell you beforehand that those who, as I told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, everyone say fruit. Fruit. How many of you have ever seen an apple tree make apples like this? No. Here's how apples make apples. Wind blows. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Love, everyone say love.
Love.
Say joy. Say peace.
Peace.
Say long-suffering.
Long-suffering.
The definition of patience is long-suffering. What does that mean? It ain't till you're suffering that you're being patient. It ain't till you're, until you're being patient. It's how long you can endure pain. Kindness, say kindness. Say goodness. Say faithfulness. Say gentleness. Say self-control. And the Bible says, against such there is no law. And then it says in verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You can't train your flesh to be godly. It must be crucified, submitted. So when we talk about fasting, it is denial. No. No. Yes. No. Okay, before I end, here's my question to you. By a show of hands, this is not a commitment. We're not going to follow you around. Send somebody to your house. How many of y'all are going to consider, it's non-committal, that's a consider, doing a fast with us? Okay, raise your hand. Okay, great, very good. Here's the deal. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do the fast, okay? And I want you to tell God, God, here is my heart's desire. Here are my big problems, my burdens. Bring them to him. Because, God, if I get you, I know all that will be taken care of somehow. And it may be taken care of by you're going to teach me how to deal with it. But I want you, I don't know why I'm taking my glasses off because I'm it's so backwards. I want you to pay attention. Like, I can see better now, right? I want I want you to pay attention to what God does. Write it down. In 3 weeks, you should say, God did this, God did this, God did this, God did this. And if you are unsure whether God did it, if it's good, he did it. Lord, we thank you so much. And Lord, I pray for miracles in people's lives. And I pray that even next week, as we talk about how to pray next week, I pray that the 40% of the people here who weren't going to come back next week will come back. And I pray that you would show everybody here miracles that are undeniably the God of the universe. Get us off the treadmill. Rock our world. Lord, give people jobs, places to live. Heal their relationships, their addictions. Give them a passion to pray and read the Bible like never before, a passion to serve. Help them understand how much you love them and how special they are to you and how wonderfully and marvelously you've created them. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. See you next week. Same bat time.